Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. We are back in 1 John chapter 4, and we're looking at the second part of 1 John 4, 7 through 12. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you to take it, and let's turn together to 1 John 4, 7 through 12. Here's what the scriptures say. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so love us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, this passage is full of some very rich content, doctrinal content, practical content, and we've been emphasizing the fact that this passage is all about Christian community and how important it is that the church is a loving, healthy community. This is a place where God wants us to grow. This is where God wants us to have a vibrant relationship. And so let me remind you again of the summary statement we talked about yesterday. Not only did John want the church to be prepared to deal with the intense pressures that they were facing from false teachers, but he also wanted to emphasize their incredible need to be growing in Christian love within the local church. Remember, we've been talking about the fact that there is this conflict between the world and Christ's kingdom, and part of this conflict affects us. When the world hates God and hates what God represents and hates God's authority and hates the gospel, then ultimately the world is going to hate those who represent Christ, those who are joined to Christ, those who have embraced the gospel message and believe in Christian doctrine. And so we're going to be caught in this situation where we are caught in conflict with the world. So one of the things that he does is he wants to encourage Christians. And so he reminds them of the realities of that conflict that they're dealing with. He also emphasizes the fact that they have overcome, but now he's emphasizing the importance of the local church. In other words, it's not just that you have overcome, but there's also a place where you find strength and encouragement, and that's where you grow. And so yesterday, we looked at the fact that God never designed for people to grow in isolation. God designed for Christians to grow within the local church. Now today we're going to look at two more truths connected to this passage. And really, there's a lot more than what we're even going to look at here, but we're going to look at some very practical, simple thoughts. The third truth from our discussion is that God reveals his love through people. Now, when we talk about love, we need to realize that this is a quality that is seen in community. In other words, you only see love on display when there's interaction with other people. When we talk about the fact that God loves people, the question is, how can you see with your eyes the reality of God's love? Well, God reveals his love through people in community. Look at what he says in verses 9 to 11. In this was manifested or revealed the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So he's emphasizing the fact that Christ coming, the God-man, demonstrated the Father's love for people. We can see with our eyes that God loves people because Christ has done something for us. He then goes on to say, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Now, this is really interesting what he's saying here. We're going to get into the fact that the way that people see that God loves them is not just through the cross of Christ, but it's through the way that Christians who are growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose lives are dominated by the work of the Holy Spirit, as they relate to other people in a loving way, this is how God channels his love toward other people. In other words, we are like the conduit that brings God's love to others. When we serve others, when we encourage others, when we bless others, When we come alongside people and strengthen them, we are the channels through which God is showing his love to those people. And that's what he's saying. God's love was manifest through the work of Christ, and God's love is manifested to other people through the work of his people. In fact, when we think of 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about us being ambassadors for Christ, and the idea is that we represent him. Here's what Paul says. He says, "All things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." The idea is that when we take the gospel to people, we are representing God. In other words, we are channels through which God is showing his love and his grace and his mercy to other people. As much as we get out of the way and simply let God work through us, we are his ambassadors, and we are faithful ambassadors when we do it by his power and we do it the way that he wants us to do it. In other words, God reveals his love, the work of Christ, through his people who are bringing the message of the gospel to them. And so we can see that God really manifests or reveals his love in three ways. The first way is through his providence. In verse 9, it says that God sent. In verse 10, it says he loved us and sent. The idea is that God the Father demonstrated his love by how he worked in human history to bring the Messiah, the Savior of the world, so that we could be redeemed. God's providential work is a demonstration of his love. We then see the second in the provision of Christ and really the work of Christ. He says in verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now that word propitiation means that when Christ went to the cross and was nailed to the cross, our sin debt that has incurred God's just legal wrath, that sin debt that stands between us and God, has been in full satisfied by the work of Christ. In other words, God's justice was poured out on Christ, and as he carried our sins, he bore the just wrath of God's holiness against our sin. What does that demonstrate? That demonstrates the love of God for people. God wants people to be redeemed. He wants people to be forgiven. He wants to be able to accept them as his own children. But he cannot do that without the basis of the cross. And so we don't just see that God's love was manifested in his plan of redemption, but his love was manifested in the execution of his plan of redemption when Christ died on the cross. But then the third thing that's mentioned in this passage is extremely important. And this is what is so practical for us now that we've embraced the gospel and we've placed our faith in Christ. And that is God's people are the ones who manifest his love. Verse 9 says that we, he saved us, can live through him. Now, this is interesting. You would think it would say that he could live through us. But the reality is when we talk about salvation, we were spiritually dead in trespasses and sin in times past. We were dominated by our flesh. It's because of the gospel that we can live. In other words, we went from being dead spiritually to being alive in Christ. So the idea is that it is through the power of the gospel and through the power of the work of Christ that we're now in a position to be alive and to actually live the Christian life as he intended. He then goes on in verse 11 to say, "If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." In other words, as we've become the recipients of love, now we're supposed to be the channel or the conduit through which God demonstrates his love to other people. This is so interesting. He then goes on to say this, "No man hath seen God at any time." Now, why does he say that? Because he's emphasizing the love of God. He's emphasizing the fact that God does love people, but because you've not seen him, the question is, how can you be convinced that he loves people? Well, here it is. He says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. In other words, the way that people can see that God loves them apart from the power of the gospel and the work of Christ through his word, is they see that the gospel has radically changed people. People who are not by nature loving individuals, people who are by nature self-centered, living for their fleshly desires, and all of a sudden these people are people who have been humbled by the gospel, walking in holiness, living a distinctly righteous life in this world, and they're walking in love one toward another. And that person is receiving that love. And they say, this is an evidence of the power of the gospel. This is an evidence that this person is alive in Christ. In other words, we are one of the ways that God manifests his love. And the question is this, are we effectively demonstrating the love of Christ? You know, when a Christian walks in a self-centered and ungodly way, when a Christian is unloving towards the people around them, this is a terrible blight on their on the reputation of the gospel. Okay, the gospel has the power to change people. When I say I'm a Christian and I live as if I'm not, what am I doing? I'm undermining the powerful witness of the gospel. I'm supposed to be a channel through which God demonstrates his love. Instead, I'm a hindrance. So when we talk about the fact that God reveals his love through his people, this is an incredibly important concept. We then see a fourth truth. And that fourth truth is that Christian love is something that we grow in. Don't miss what he says in verse 12. He says, his love is perfected in us. That word perfected has the idea that there's a process. In other words, that when I become a Christian and I begin to love people, I love them in immaturity. But as I grow as a Christian, as I go through life, as the gospel takes deeper root in my soul and the implications of the gospel begin to manifest themselves more and more in my life, as I begin to submit myself more and more to the rule of the Holy Spirit as opposed to the domination of my flesh, as I grow into Christ's likeness, as I grow in spiritual maturity, what's going to happen? Christian love will begin to expand and grow deeper and fuller and richer and more matured. In other words, Christian love isn't something that I have in perfection at the moment of salvation, but it's something that I grow in over the course of my life. Every single difficult situation that God allows me to deal with, you know what it is? It's a part of that shaping me more and more into the image of Christ. It's a part of the tools that God uses to make me more and more matured in my love for him and my love for other people. And you think about the illustration of when people get married. When people get married and they stand before that pastor, that congregation, and they say their vows, we would say that couple is in love. But the truth is that when we talk about them being in love, we're really talking about the fact that there is an emotional attachment that has developed there, but it's not a love that is matured and a love that's been tested. But over decades of marriage, what happens? Raising children, going through the challenges of that, getting older and your body beginning to deteriorate and your health beginning to go, and all the different issues that people deal with as a married couple living in a fallen world and both being fallen people. Guess what happens? All of those conflicts that were resolved over the course of decades, all of those challenges that they walked through together and they shouldered that burden together, all of those blessings that they enjoyed together, the high points, the low points, the lessons learned, the struggles, all that goes into decades of marriage, what happens? That love matures. It takes root, becomes deeper. The expression of that love becomes more and more matured. And the fact is that the same thing happens for the Christian. Our love grows as we mature. If you've been a believer for decades, you should be far more matured today than you were on the day that you were converted. If you've been a Christian for decades, the way that you love other people should have grown exponentially over the course of those decades. That's what healthy, vibrant Christianity does. And so we're not only reminded that we are the channels through which God shows his love to other people, but we possess a love that is maturing and growing over time. The fact is that when we get involved in our local churches, we write a note to somebody of encouragement. When we go and visit a senior, when we encourage someone after a service in a conversation, when we sing praise together, when we sit under the ministry of the word together, when we take the gospel to our community, when we disciple a young person who is a young believer or a young couple, when we're doing those acts of service, those areas of ministry, what are we doing? We are demonstrating the love of God for people. And that's what God wants us to do. So ask you a very simple question. The simple question is this: when people see your life, I'm talking about how you relate to others, do they see a conduit of matured Christian love? In other words, does a person recognize that God loves them because you are a channel through which God shows that? Or is your life a hindrance to the work of Christ? I think that's a really important question that we should ask ourselves this morning. God wants us to be a channel through which he demonstrates his love. He manifests his love to people. And may we be that. If this has been a challenge to you this morning, I pray that you will just jot something down and say, hey, thank you for that encouragement. Share it with somebody else so that they can be encouraged by it. And I pray that God will take these truths and really work in our hearts through them. I'm so excited that this Sunday we are going to be gathered together as a full congregation again. We're also going to be taking the Lord's table together. And so we have prepackaged elements, and so I'm looking forward to really just celebrating the gospel and celebrating the work of Christ and remembering together what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. I won't be sending out any videos on Saturday or Sunday, but I look forward to seeing many of you on Sunday, and some of you won't be able to make it, so join us on the live stream, but it'll be a really wonderful time of fellowship and praise to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study the word again. I pray that you'll take the truths that are here and make them sink into our souls. Help us to be a channel through which your love is demonstrated to people, and help us not to be really a hindrance to the work that you're doing in this world. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, it's been good to see each of you this morning, and I hope that you have a great rest of your day and weekend. Bye now.